Chapter 15, Section 2, History and Government, on page 311. Russia and the Eurasian republics have a long history as rich and diverse as the land and the peoples who occupy it. Over thousands of years, different peoples have come and gone. Each has left its mark on the land, and each in turn was influenced by the land, the climate, and the environment. Early peoples and states. In ancient times, people were living in and farming much of the land that is now Russia and the Eurasian republics. Over time, different groups came and went. Some were hunters and gatherers, others were nomads, still others were farmers, said one Russian expert. The picture we obtain from the written sources is that of a bewildering procession of tribes and nations which every few centuries succeed each other on the steppes, only to sweep each other off the map. River settlers and towns. Among the many groups who over centuries cut through the mountain passes and crossed the valleys and plains of the region were Slavs, who came from the northernmost part of Eastern Europe. Over time, they spread throughout the western part of the region. Some settled near the Dnieper River, which was part of a chain of waterways that led to the Baltic Sea. Others settled near the Volga River, which was a trade route to the Caspian Sea. Before long, the Slavs built trading towns along the rivers. These towns became links in a trade route that joined the Slavs with the peoples of the Mediterranean, Western Europe, and Scandinavia. In the 800s, fierce warrior traders from Scandinavia, called Varangians, settled near the Dnieper and the Volga. The area they settled became known as Kievan Rus. In time, one of their leaders set up the first state in the region at Kiev, a trading town on the Dnieper. By the 900s, the Varangians had adopted the Slavs' language and many of their customs and had organized the trading towns into city-states. Before long, the Slavs organized into a loose union in which each city-state was ruled by a prince. Kiev became the capital and its ruler, the Grand Prince. Next page, 312. Mongols. In the early 1200s, warriors known as Mongols invaded from Central Asia and destroyed Kiev. Ultimately, they conquered much of the Slav territories and made them part of their vast empire. Although they allowed the Slavs self-rule, they continued to control the area for more than 200 years, cutting many of the Slavs off from European civilization. When the Mongols first overran Kiev, many Slavs living there had fled into nearby forests. Later, some of those people settled along the Moskova River. In time, their settlement grew into the city of Moscow, known then as Muscovy. For nearly two centuries, its princes kept peace with the Mongol rulers. Finally, in the 1400s, a grand prince of Muscovy named Ivan conquered other Slavic princes, set up a Russian state, and drove out the Mongols. The rule of the Tsars. Ivan became Ivan III, later known as Ivan the Great, the first Tsar or supreme ruler of all Russia. Moscow became the religious and political center of Russia. In the late 1500s, Russia began to expand its territory and kept on expanding for the next several hundred years. With the new territories came new non-Russian peoples. A window to the west. Europeans had made many achievements. They moved forward and left Russia far behind, especially in scientific knowledge and technology. Then in the late 1600s, Tsar Peter I came to power, determined to modernize Russia and make it into a European nation. Peter made war to get some of the things he wanted. From Sweden, for example, he won the seaports he needed along the Baltic Sea to give his country access to major sea routes and increase its trade with Northwest and Mediterranean Europe. His hard-won seaports could be used year-round. Under Peter, who came to be known as Peter the Great, Russia's territory expanded, its naval strength increased, and its trade multiplied, and a new capital city, St. Petersburg, was carved out of the wilderness. Built on land along the Gulf of Finland, St. Petersburg was Peter's window to the west. Seeds of discontent. By the late 1800s, the Russian people were tired of war and resentful of the iron rule of the Tsars and their secret police. Peasants and serfs, laborers owned by nobles and bound to the land, lived in poverty and were treated like enslaved persons. The life of factory workers in the cities was not much better. Many thinkers were unhappy as well. They favored socialism, a philosophy that called for ownership of all land and factories by peasants and workers. Frustrated and discontent, many Russians took to heart the writings of a German philosopher, Karl Marx. He believed that in time, the conflict between landowners and the working class would lead to a workers' revolution that would spread all over the world. Out of this revolution, he said, would arise a new classless society. The few reforms the czars made, freeing the serfs and promoting education, were not enough to unify the people. The government began a program of Russification that required everyone in the empire to speak Russian and become Eastern Orthodox Christian. The policy only made matters worse. World War I brought more hardship and more protests. Food, clothing, fuel, weapons, and ammunition were all in short supply. Thousands of striking factory workers demanding bread and freedom overran the streets of Petrograd, previously St. Petersburg. After a few days, the government called in the army to end the demonstrations. Most of the soldiers, though, ended up joining the demonstrators. Finally, in March 1917, the Tsar abdicated and the rule of the Tsars came to an end. The Soviet era. The new government did not last. In November 1917, a group of revolutionaries known as Bolsheviks took over the city of Petrograd and proclaimed a socialist revolution. The Bolsheviks set up a new government headed by a revolutionary named Vladimir Ilyich Lenin. Lenin, whose political ideas were based on the teachings of Karl Marx, promised the Russian people peace, land, and bread. His government withdrew from World War I, moved the capital back to Moscow, took control of industry and church property, and promised workers an 8-hour workday. Not all Russians agreed with communism, the teachings of Marx and Lenin, and war soon broke out between the Bolsheviks, the Reds, and the anti-Bolsheviks, the Whites. In 1921, the Bolsheviks, now known as communists, won the war. The next year, they established a new nation, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Turn the page to 314. Or the USSR, also known as the Soviet Union, made up of Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, and the Transcaucasus. Its capital was Moscow. Building and expanding the communist state. In the late 1920s, a new leader, Joseph Stalin, came to power and set about making the Soviet Union one of the world's greatest industrial powers. To accomplish this goal, his government took control of industrial and farm production. Millions of people, however, died or were sent to labor camps as Stalin ruthlessly strengthened his hold over the country. By the end of 1940, the Soviet Union was a nation of 15 republics. By the middle of the next year, the Soviets found themselves under attack by the Germans, caught in another world war. The war took more than 30 million Soviet lives, but the nation came out of it stronger than ever. The Soviets had expanded their territory and spread communism to Eastern Europe. Now a superpower in competition with the United States, the Soviet Union became involved in a Cold War with non-communist countries, a war in which it sought world influence by any means short of total war. The Cold War continued well into the 1980s. In 1985, a new leader, Mikhail Gorbachev, took power. He thought that the country could not survive without restructuring, which he called Perestroika, and a new openness, or glasnost. Gorbachev's reforms were not enough. Next page, 315, New Republics. By 1990, many people were dissatisfied with the way communism was working. By the end of the year, the Baltic republics of Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia had declared their independence, and all the other republics had declared some freedoms. In the summer of 1991, the Soviet Republic of Russia held its first democratic election for president. The new president, Boris Yeltsin, backed Gorbachev when some others turned against him and tried to strengthen the government. But it was too late to save the Soviet Union. By mid-December, all the republics had declared their independence. Russia's Yeltsin met with the leaders of Ukraine and Belarus, and they announced that they had united to form a new community, the Commonwealth of Independent States, or CIS, in which each member republic was independent and had its own government and constitution. They invited all the other republics to join. By late December, all the former Soviet republics except Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, and Georgia had done so, making the CIS the largest federation of separate republics in the world. In 1992, Azerbaijan left the CIS but later rejoined. Georgia also became a member. Today, the Soviet Union and the Cold War belong to the past, and the new republics are trying to come to terms with the changes brought by their independence. In Russia, Yeltsin introduced economic reforms to move the economy toward free enterprise. A better future was promised to the Russian people, but in the short term, the reforms brought increased hardships. Taking advantage of widespread dissatisfaction, extreme nationalists and communists tried to undermine Yeltsin while Yeltsin sought to increase his powers. In 1996, Yeltsin defeated his communist rival in presidential elections. During Yeltsin's second term, however, Russia faced mounting social and economic problems. Reforms were stalled or had little impact. A prosperous new middle class was growing, but workers, the elderly and the poor, received few benefits. Street violence, organized crime, and ethnic unrest increased public fears about the collapse of law and order. In 1998, the fragile Russian economy steadily weakened under the impact of global economic troubles. Unable to solve the crisis, Yeltsin lost much of his power to his communist and nationalist opponents. Section 2 Assessment. Define Tsar, Serf, Socialism, Russification, Communism, Perestroika, and Glasnost. Locating places. Where did the Slavs and the Varangians settle? Movement. Why did Peter the Great want to acquire land along the Baltic Sea? Place. What did the Soviets gain from World War II? Critical thinking, number 5. Expressing problems clearly. Why were most Russians discontented under Tsarist rule? The end.